What's up, peeps? Before you get into the episode, just a quick message. Did you know that Rebranded Safety is brought to you by RiskFluent? Rebranded Safety is essentially our campaign to achieve our purpose, which is to make the working world better by rebranding safety one interaction at a time. We value a people-centered approach that delivers positive impact on the risk. We deliver three types of services: technical, transformational, and fire. It's the last two I want to talk to you about. If you value what we value and you want some support driving a culture change or decluttering your safety systems, or you want to improve human performance, then it's our transformational support that can help you. Or maybe you want a highly experienced registered fire risk assessor to carry out an assessment on your building, design an emergency plan, or review the fire safety design for your new building, then it's our fire support service that can help you. But before you get in touch with us, it's important that you want to have impact on the actual risk and you value a people-centered approach. If you don't, that's fine. You'll find someone that can help you. But if you do value those, then get in touch with us at riskfluentltd.com or email me, james@riskfluentltd.com. But for now, I'll let you get into the episode.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Right, first episode of the Project Meletium show. Welcome back to Rebranded Safety. I'll just jump into the intro and we'll get right into it.
The problem in safety isn't deviation, it's complexity.
Health and safety has gone mad.
Health and safety is trying to unpick having gone mad in the past.
There's no one solution and one problem. The problem is that we are looking for one solution.
Does the structure of the team allow them to flourish?
Feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
The environment defines our behaviors.
People aren't the problem, they're the solution.
Rebranding Safety, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by RiskFluent.
Right, Colin, here we are.
James, how are you?
Project Meletium show.
Good ass, mate. Look at us.
There we go, yeah. On camera and everything. Wait, is this mine or yours?
That's yours, buddy. Yeah. Oh, exciting, mate. Exciting. I mean, a really lovely idea to start talking a bit more about the fantastic stuff that's going on in Meletium.
Yeah, and like we're doing loads of work and we're not really talking about it, so we needed to do something so that the normal world, the rest of the world, understand, well, and get exposed to it, I suppose. And also, let's be honest, it's a marketing campaign, isn't it?
Well, you know, we need more people to be part of the community because it just strengthens the community, strengthens the conversations. You know, everything is is geared up around great people having great chats. So the more great people we get in the room, the better the chats are going to be.
Definitely. So. Also, I just realised that we weren't going to do the Project Meletium show first, were we? We were going to do the risk assessment course show.
Let's get going, mate. But let's get going with Meletium show.
Doing it off the hoof, mate. Off the hoof. Nice to see that James paid attention to the running order. Thank God he doesn't work in real media.
That's good. It's good.
So the structure for the Meletium show going forward is kind of we'll pick like one or two, maybe a bit of a general update as to what we're doing, but then mostly kind of pick one or two subjects or things that have come up through the month and chat about them, I suppose. So do you want to give us a bit of an update as to what we've been doing and what maybe actually what Project Meletium is? Let's talk about that first.
Okay. So yeah, well, I mean, we set up Meletium five or 6 months ago now, and
Jesus,
flown by, isn't it? Absolutely flown by. And you know, we came together because we both have got some great messages, I suppose, to put out there, but also are getting influenced by some really amazing people, you know, on our podcast. And, you know, we wanted to sort of try and bring some of that exposure, some of that knowledge to a group, but also, I suppose, create an environment where people can learn. And I think that's the thing that's been most interesting for me, is just watching people grow as individuals. And I think every person that's been regularly attending has just come on leaps and bounds. What we do is we have weekly community calls. We're meeting twice a week at the moment, hopefully soon to be going three times a week. We've got the monthly book club, which has been great.
I love the book club.
we'll get onto that. And then on a quarterly basis, we're having a whack on wheel, which is the two whack on wheels we've had of both. I've come out of that, they're on Saturday mornings. And I've just come away from that, just, oh my God, just blown my mind.
Yeah,
the stuff that we have, the stuff that's been discussed, and just how just how open people have been.
Yeah.
I think it's been one of the most lovely things with it.
So. Yeah, definitely. And it's been like, we did the first one and it was like, shit, how am I going to top that? Mm. And then we did the second one and we're like, shit, how are we going to top that? Yeah. It's just like, whoa, it's amazing. The caliber of conversation. And I think that's what makes it what it is. It's just people talking. Mm-hmm. But in a way that's kind of, yeah, it's a little bit structured. Yeah, it's facilitated. But like, it's really kind of raw and dynamic, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. And then also we've just added the philosophy course as well. So we now run them monthly. Which as far as I'm aware, that's really the only place that's talking about or having those philosophical conversations around, like, do we actually understand what these words that we use all the time actually are? Like, you know, do we understand that, I talk about this all the time, but do we actually understand that safe is really a relative concept? So what's safe to me and safe to you is different. So everyone might go, yeah, obviously, yeah, but like, well, what does that actually mean? So I've really enjoyed those. We only had one of those so far, but it was just unbelievable. It was,
you know. And we've got Simon Cassin who's basically facilitating those for us, yeah. Which is really, really nice of him to give up his time to do that. And you know, and I suppose he just challenges in such a nice way. Mm. You know, he just asks some great questions. And I think, you know, one of the things that I've learned from doing my podcast is just how important it is to just ask better and better questions, yeah. all the time,
yeah.
and the better you can get at that, then yeah. and the better you're going to be as an individual.
Yeah,
and I think that's what we're doing. You know, and you know, with the community calls, you know, they aren't, you know, it's not just a free for all. You know, we talk about people's successes, and you know, and it's not that often that people get a chance to actually share the things that are going well in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, health and safety is very it's quite negative, isn't it, as a topic?
Totally.
You know, and so. Being able to share the positive things that are going on, I think has been a real eye opener for a lot of people that come along. You know, we're insisting on people. To be fair, it's an easy question to ask, but we get some great stuff that people are doing.
Mm.
But then we focus in on, you know, well what issues have people got? You know, because you know, and because it's fantastic to get this sort of diverse opinion, I suppose. You know, on what people are coming up with and then we finish it off with the successes again.
Yeah.
You know, the positive things that people are going to do in the next before the next meeting.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of structure, but that structure is, you know, is pretty fluid as well.
Yeah. 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 And I think as well, one of the values of the cause is the community itself. Like, whether we've kind of done it consciously or unconsciously or maybe both. Like, the diversity of this community already is quite interesting. Like, you know, the calls are at a certain time, so we are kind of limited at the moment, which I think is something we'll consider maybe and talk about on the show later on one of the other episodes, around the fact that we are kind of limited to UK time, but still, we've got English, Irish, Northern Irish, we've got heads of... not even safety professionals, you know, people that want to be safety professionals, entry level, mid level, and all of those people coming together, helping each other. You know, there's this stuff that people, the younger side of the profession, are teaching the more established side of the profession and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think traditionally it's all like, you've reached a certain position in your career, then I only have to learn from you. You can learn nothing from me. But I think in our community, we're seeing it two ways.
Oh, yeah.
No, like, and it's one of our members as well has said that they've refound their kind of rekindled their passion as well, which I thought was just amazing.
That's
amazing.
Right. That was you know, again, one of our older members.
Yeah.
And you know, and he just you know, he loves to talk. Yeah, it's called Jerry. Jerry loves to talk. And you know, but it's, you know, to have him there, you know, just talking about the things that are important to him, mm. and then getting that feedback, you know, like you say, that he's just been inspired by chatting to other people.
Mm.
It's lovely. It's lovely, mm. man.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's so easy. It's so easy to just run these sessions, because you just know, you know, I mean, when we first started out, you know, we didn't know how many people were going to come, you know,
right.
And now, you know, we're getting a real core of people,
yeah.
that are just turning up there, and they're giving their time every single week, you know, to just come and be involved in something that is really making a difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're growing from it. I mean, like, just to see the growth that one of our members, that who isn't a safety professional, who's got such passion and drive on one particular subject, mm-hmm. and he's not a safety professional, but the work he is doing is like more than what I've seen some safety professionals do. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't, you know, this guy's doing it on the hoof on his spare time as much as he can. And the growth we've seen in him has just been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think Project Millennium as a company take all the kind of you know, claim of that, because it's the community and him that's mm-hmm. done that, and that we've just helped him. Mm-hmm. There's no arrogance, there's no anything. It's just like, he's come to, I want to do this, or I've got this challenge, and everyone's just gives and gives and gives experience, knowledge, time. And then people are giving their time outside mm-hmm. of Project Millennium, so we're building relationships as well. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things with that gentleman was when he, one of his wins was somebody coming to him for advice on scaffolding. It was like, you're the scaffolding expert. And he was like, never been called an expert. And I was just like, but that for me, in that 1 second, I was like, that's what we were trying to achieve, mm-hmm. is showing people that no matter where you are in your profession, where you are in your career, where you are in your experience, your education, whatever, you have value. Mm-hmm. And that, in that moment, I was like, nailed it. That's exactly what we were trying to achieve. I loved it.
No, definitely, mate. No, it's been lovely to see him grow, and you know, and he's going to go so much further. Yeah. You know, and it's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. Mm. This month we had the Wagon Wheel, which is the quarterly mastermind.
Yep.
And you know, and that was we were very, very fortunate to have Teresa Swinton come along and talk to us.
Yeah.
You know, how did you find that conversation?
Oh, mate, you know me. I'm a kind of. I am well on the bandwagon of human organizational performance, safety two, new view, whatever you want to call it. Like, for me, bringing in these more kind of sociology, psychology side of things, a human factor side of things, that's right up my street. And I could talk about that forever. Mm. You know, and Teresa is, Jesus, she's involved in so much stuff I do. Maybe for her sins, but you know, she's involved in so much I do because she just impresses me with the amount of stuff that she does and her company and her ethos and yeah, the whole thing. So for me, you know, shout out, thank you very much for her coming on. But I thought the conversation was, the whole day blew my mind, how the community were having such technical conversations about how we can put this in place on Monday, off the back of that presentation, to then go on to what I think we'll talk about in a minute, of to have real emotional conversations. But yeah, mate, I was so impressed by the conversation. I thought Trida's presentation was outstanding. And the workshops that followed from that were just unbelievable.
And I think one of the absolute beautiful things that we do in the Wagon Wheel is the speaker doesn't just come on and then disappear off.
And then disappear, yeah.
Yeah, they Teresa came on, and then she just joined us for the rest of the morning, and so all the people in that room that would normally say they'd go to a keynote speech somewhere, you know, they wouldn't have any time to really talk with her, no. to really interact and engage. And I think that is the real power.
Yeah.
You know, again, is just, you know, and again, as you said, you know, massive thank you to Teresa for giving her time up. But I think if we spoke to her, I think she'd say she thoroughly enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
You know, because it just gave her the opportunity to really engage with the people that are really trying to apply, you know, good health and safety practice into their workplaces.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a, you know, it's a great opportunity for her. But yeah, I mean, it was great. It was great.
No, I enjoyed it. I loved it. I just, yeah. And in the first one, I mean, we didn't really run this podcast episode slash show, whatever we're calling it, when we did the first Wagon Wheel. But, you know, shout out to Jem as well. We did the first keynote, but he was, you know, ex-Special Forces, talked about his journey, his career. So that was real kind of different because it was more about personal resilience. Mm-hmm. Whilst there was a lot to learn for organisational resilience and that, but it was much more focused on that, but I thought that was outstanding as well. And again, he gave so much time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's such an interesting character, Jem Hills, and you know, and he, you know, he went through some real adversity. You know, he jumped out of a plane with a parachute on, and the parachute didn't open.
Yeah.
You know, which is a pretty tough deal. But his training had been so good that he just followed through the processes of what he needed to do, and unfortunately just managed to get a bit of air into the reserve chute just before he hit the ground, which saved his life. But at the back end of that, you know, he just talked about, you know, the steps that he had to go through to go from the basic military, you know, service he was doing to get into the special forces, you know, and how people were sort of, you know, were being knocked off of the program, even right up to the last minute when, you know, the people that walked in the room felt that they'd probably achieved what they wanted to, and yet there still was that final selection process that was going on. And he just talked, you know, about the drive that he had that took him through and has helped him in his life. And you know, just chatting to a couple other people that in Militium who said, you know, they actually, the subsequent weeks after listening to Jem, had a few things that they needed to really focus on and really drive through. And they achieved it, you know, so which is, thanks a lot, Jem, again.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant.
I went for the longest run I had for a long time after that keynote with Jem.
Right, yeah.
Just because I kept hearing him in my head, like, go on, just keep going. Yeah. I just kept going.
Yeah.
And then got home and I was like, holy shit. I haven't run like that in ages. I wasn't very fit back then either. I'm still not fit now.
No, perhaps we need to get him a little bit more involved. Yeah. That going. So.
And then in this wagon wheel, we've just gone, in each wagon wheel, we run a section where our kind of member talks about something. Mm-hmm. So we ask one of our members to volunteer and we ask them to come on and talk about something, whether it's a professional challenge, whether it's a personal challenge or what, it doesn't really matter. And they come on, they tell their story, they give some context, and then we all try and help them or have discussions around their own experience. And this quarter, we had one of our members come on and talk about imposter syndrome and their challenges with mental health through this profession and finding a profession as well. Mm-hmm. And the subsequent conversation. I've just never seen anything like it, Colin. I've never heard anything like it. It was just not in our profession anyway. It was just so open and so honest, and everyone was sharing all of their kind of personal difficulties and challenges so generously to kind of empathize and support and show the member that he's not on his own. Everyone kind of goes through these challenges and what they've done to kind of help themselves and where they are now. And I've got no words for it, mate. I've got no words for it. It was just unbelievable.
Which isn't great for a podcast, is it?
No, it's really not. Yeah, let's not talk about it. No way.
But no, I mean, it was great. It was amazing. And to hear the gentleman talking and just being so open. But I think you know the thing for me is when you get challenged, you know, and you're right on the edge and feeling uncomfortable, which is where he felt, but within an environment that was so supportive, that's where the real learning happens. You know, that's when people really, really learn, when they're, you know, when they're challenged in a supportive environment. And I think the thing was, you know, I don't think, I'm sure, you know, Damien will mind us saying his name.
Yeah.
Okay. But Damien was just so open. And he, you know, and he learnt, but blimmin' heck, everybody learnt.
Yeah.
You know, everybody who was on that call really had some real reflection, you know, about their own lives and took away so much, you know. I know I definitely did. You know, things happened after that meeting for myself, which was, you know, really transformational in my life. And, you know, and that's what this community is doing, mate. It's transforming people's lives.
Yeah. And I mean, it was funny that we had that conversation, because when we first launched Project Millennium, we were only like a few weeks in, a couple of members, we're having conversations. And Sherry said to me, do you know what, have you actually thought about the mental health benefits from having these community calls? And I was like, no, not really. But now you say it, yeah, like it's totally obvious. And I think it was really obvious in that conversation. Mate, I was moved to tears, as you know, as a couple of others were. And you know, in the subsequent weeks, in the last few weeks, you know, a friend of mine, as you know, has kind of really struggling and is going through a really, really bad time, all down to mental health. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he had a project meeting for his profession and he was having these conversations, mm-hmm. you know, would it be any different? Mm-hmm. It was, yeah, for me, it was just phenomenal. And I think to your point, knowing you don't, it's not like you're using it every day. This is not like Alcoholics Anonymous for safety professionals. It's not, people aren't coming and pouring their heart out every day. But knowing you have that there, mm-hmm. I think is just as powerful. Mm-hmm. Knowing that every Wednesday or every Friday, or like many of our members, every Wednesday and Friday, mm-hmm. You can come to a call and just vent or ask for support was just, yeah, it's just unbelievable. And I never thought of that until Sherry said it. And then I saw it at the quarterly wagon wheel and I was like, yeah, wow, unbelievable.
And so, we have got a challenge, you know, how do we maintain that amazing discussion, that amazing content? But I think the real beautiful thing is that it's totally in our hands, you know, mm. so, you know, as a community, you know, yep, we're at the front end of it. You know, we are the faces, I suppose, of Meletium. But ultimately, you know, the real power is the community that we've got there, and the people will come forward. And I've got absolutely no doubt that we're going to have amazing conversations when we meet, because the people that are coming to the meetings are amazing people.
Yeah,
and so it just happens.
And I do think maybe you kind of touched on a point that we hadn't planned to talk about, but I think maybe it's worth talking about in that. Project Meletium is a commercial venture, mm-hmm. and many of our equivalent, maybe not equivalents, but like the closest equivalent to what we're doing would be like the professional memberships, the chartered mm-hmm. bodies, yeah. which are not for profit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to distinguish that we're very different from that, and we don't see ourselves as a chartered body of membership. We are a mastermind community, mm-hmm. and we're all about growing. But I think the question kind of comes up is like, what does it come up? Maybe once or twice it has in my conversation, but like, why is it a commercial venture? And for me, it's about what you just said, that challenge. It's like, we have a challenge now of maintaining that value and that quality and that kind of richness of conversation. And because it's a commercial venture, it's in our control. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not limited by being not for profit, for, you know, having to try and make surplus and not call it profit or whatever, and for having to kind of do X amount with our money or anything like that, or being run by volunteers or anything like that, as much as we do talk to our members and we do have them on our boards and stuff like that. But I think it's important to acknowledge that, yeah, we are for profit, mm-hmm. because that profit gives us so much power and flexibility to be able to continue delivering that quality, mm-hmm. and also do more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing to distinguish, I think.
Yeah, no, definitely. The profit that we make, you know, we are reinvesting. You know, we're going to reinvest back into online resources.
Yeah.
You know, the training courses. You know, after this episode, we're going to be recording part for some a risk assessment course that's going to be coming out really soon. That's going to be totally free for mm-hmm. our members. But people that also want to experience it that aren't members, there's going to be an investment that they make.
Yeah.
But again, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, that's exactly right. But the money that we make out of that, we'll make the community better.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just going to get better and better. So as it grows, I think one of the challenges that we've got, you know, some of our members are saying, you know, as you know, what we when we grow, we don't want to lose the togetherness of the, you know. Yeah. So, you know, so we're just working out how we can make that happen.
What that looks like, yeah.
So that's a challenge. That's a nice challenge to have, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, how do we keep this growing, but maintaining the quality? And I think, you know, most businesses have that challenge, you know. And we're facing up to it.
Yeah, definitely. And another conversation that we've had quite heavily this last month is around that IOSH article.
Just a quick shout out to Paradigm Human Performance. Thank you very much, Paradigm Human Performance, and more specifically the HSE subscription service for sponsoring. Paradigm Human Performance's HSE subscription service is the perfect solution for those small, medium-sized enterprises that are just juggling all those balls, spinning all the plates, and sometimes safety can fall by the wayside. Not because you don't care or anything, just because that's life, and sometimes it just fell out of scope. Well, this solution is a subscription-based service that's going to be that guiding hand for you. It's going to help you put worker safety as a key part of that DNA of your organization. It's going to help you utilize the subject matter expertise of the worker. This is not your off-the-shelf solution. This is a partnership with Paradigm on a monthly subscription basis where they're going to be that guiding hand for you. This is also not that kind of compliance system you're going to need to declutter in a couple of years. These are designed by human and organizational performance experts, which is what Paradigm is. So if this sounds like the right solution for you, you can go and contact them with the email address and phone number in the description below. Or if you're not sure about it, you can go to their website, which is also linked in the description below, and sign up for the Learning Organization webinar. I run every Thursday at 2 p.m. And the best thing is once you've signed up, you get access to all of the backlog as well, which is about 2 years worth of content. You'll get to know the Paradigm team and you'll also get loads and loads of great advice. So thank you very much, Paradigm, for sponsoring Rebranding Safety.
I think there's been a lot of conversation around that. I think it would be interesting to maybe break out some of those points that people have discussed. I do think it's very worth it's a valuable point to say that there is a human at the end of that article that wrote it. Mm-hmm. And actually, personally, yes, I vehemently disagree with a lot of the what was said in that. Actually, most of my negative feedback, so to speak, or criticisms, were more targeted at the body that put out that article and that article, not as opposed, and the article in the magazine as opposed to the author. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the conversations that we've had?
Yeah, I mean, around it. I mean, ultimately, you know, there's, I also have got a responsibility to our profession. You know, they are the biggest professional membership organisation, you know, in the world, they've got a responsibility, and you know, and I felt that they're, you know, the fact that the article went out in the first place, what Andy wrote, you know, I think again, you know, I read a piece by Teresa about this, and she was talking about context, and I think, you know, what Andy wrote in the right context is probably there's some element of things there that are okay,
yeah,
you know, there's still some stuff I felt was a little bit awkward. But there was none of that context was given to the piece. You know, the article was called How to Conduct Effective Accident Investigations. That's what it was called. Okay, so there's all the context you need.
Yeah.
You know, and it didn't do that. It didn't do that. And then Ayosh's response to start talking about dissenters, you know, which I just found really, really difficult. You know, that was a thing that really, you know, so the fact that they published the article, they then, I think they said that they didn't have any editorial control over their magazine, which was quite amazing, and then to put out the dissenters article as some kind of response, I just felt you know, it's not where the professional body should be. Mm. You know, I think, you know, what they should have done, well, not necessarily, I'm not here to tell Ayosh what they should do. What could have worked is given Andy the opportunity to actually say what he really feels, and I think if he had been given that opportunity, they'd taken down that original article that for me is still wrong. It's still on their website. It shouldn't be there. You know, a new health and safety professional coming in and going to somebody with Ayosh. There's lots of stuff Ayosh have done really well, so people have got high respect for them. You know, and you know, new professionals going and having a look at that article on their website, I think are being given terrible information, and it's wrong for our profession to be doing that. So it should be taken down. But Andy should be given the opportunity to put his position how he wants to.
Yeah, which is worth saying that he is going on a webinar run by Sonny Gopal this week, where we're recording this on 2nd of August. So mm-hmm. I think tomorrow, actually, I think it's on. I might be wrong, or the following week. But anyway, unfortunately, he didn't want to come on my podcast. Mm-hmm. I think at the time it was due to, you know, don't get me wrong, I probably let my professionalism slip a little bit in the comments and let my passion kind of overflow a little bit, which I did kind of publicly apologize to him in the comments. And then again, I mentioned it in my own podcast where we spoke about this. And he did say it wasn't because of that. It was more because he didn't want it to blow back up. Mm. So it's interesting to see the amount. It was kind of like I was slightly concerned that maybe people were personally attacking him. Mm-hmm. And the comments did start to slip that way. Even in my own post where I kind of addressed the point about being referred to as a dissenter, and my comments were all targeted at being called a dissenter in that article. I think it is important to understand that Andy is still human, and he is going on to kind of talk more about his points with Sonny Gopal, which apparently was a pre-arranged prior to this article. That's why he's committing to it. So fair point there. Shame he kind of didn't want to come on mine. But hey, he did say that depending on how this goes, he might come on. So that'd be nice. I'd like to have that conversation with him. I do think it's good for us to be able to have two people that disagree. But then fundamentally, I wonder if we actually do disagree.
I think that's what I say. You probably don't.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, this is going back to, you know, to the context of the article. You know? And, you know, let's not kid ourselves that you know, if you're interviewing somebody, you know, there's going to be people that maybe are not always telling the truth. But I think that then goes back to, well, what is the role of a health and safety professional?
Exactly.
You know, when they're doing an incident investigation.
Exactly. You
know? Because we're not interviewing criminals.
Yeah, exactly. And that was always my point, and that's what I kept coming back to, which actually I would, you know, and I would put this to Andy as well, and anyone else, I'd put it to IOS, you know, I'm being called a dissenter. I haven't had an answer to that question yet.
No.
Is it our job to get to the truth, or is it our job to just establish all the facts, e.g. this is Colin's statement, but this is the CCTV. It therefore is a fact that Colin's statement doesn't align with the CCTV. You choose as a HR/line manager what you want to do with that.
Yeah.
That's up to you. My job, I honestly do not think it's my job to interrogate that person. And if it is, I'm in the wrong profession. Like, if I wanted to be a copper, I'd have been a copper. If I wanted to be an interrogator, I'd have joined the war. Join the army.
Yeah.
I don't think it's my job. I don't want it to be my job. I would not want to do any of those techniques.
No.
And I get what Andy's saying, and I get what he's doing. And I think it's important to acknowledge that the article, as you kind of said earlier, Colin, wasn't called How to Interview Someone When We Suspect They're Lying.
No.
It was called How to Do an Investigative Interview.
Yeah.
They're two very different things. Mm-hmm. And that distinction wasn't clearly made. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the article just went nuts. And I think that James Pomeroy made a lot of good points in that it is supported by, you know, the dissent is supported by science. Like, whatever your view on that science is, like, it is science. It is peer-reviewed. It is literature, you know, all of these kind of processes that they go through to be put into a scientific journal. That's what we were all basing our opinions off. So how can it be dissent?
Yeah.
If I'm dissenting and I'm supported by science, what the hell is the non-dissented opinion based on? That was a concern for me.
Yeah.
Me being referred to as a dissenter, as with, you know, some of the world's leading experts, writers, you know, experienced people, a psychologist that was originally in Clive I'm talking about, his job prior to joining safety was counselling people that had gone through traumatic events. If there's anyone we should really listen to, it's probably him.
Yep.
And I think James Pomeroy raised a very good point, which I then kind of reiterated several times, is we have a duty to that person we're interviewing.
Yep.
And we're seeing kind of Olympians right now pulling out of the Olympics, you know, giving up their dreams, or their opportunity that they've worked so hard to achieve to protect their own mental health. Yet our profession is talking about interrogating someone. I just think it shows how behind we are.
And it's so wrong. And that is why you know, I think what's happened is, you know, I think IOSH are hoping the problem's just going to go away.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, you know, they put a couple of articles out. I think the third article or the second article that they put out was a little bit better, you know, because I think it was talking a little bit more about how to conduct a proper investigation.
Yeah.
But it was still, you know, but it still hasn't got away from the fact that the original stuff's still out there with the wrong title on it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it even says that it's an investigative interview. I think the title is called How to Conduct an Accident Investigation. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, you know, I might be wrong there, you know, but you know, and it's, I don't know, it's miles off. What was interesting, I think one of the things that was quite funny was, you know, Dominic Cooper thought it was wrong.
Yeah,
you know, and Clive Lloyd thought it was wrong, and those guys are on
opposite end of the scale.
Opposite end of the scale, and
never agreed in their life.
And I put a post up on LinkedIn saying, "Hey, look, if it's done anything, at least it's helped to pull the profession together." Mm. And I got a fantastic response back from Clive Lloyd. He goes, "Well, me and Dominic agree. Oh my God, it's worse than I thought."
Yeah. And Dom actually put another post, a comment, I think, on a different post where he said the same. He was like, "Look, Ayosh." Yeah. Me tagged like four or five people, never agree. Yeah. We never agree. And we just agreed. Yeah. That tells you how serious this actually is. Mm. And I was just like, there's such a good point there in that they are two very, I don't think they're two very different approaches, if I'm honest, in behavioral-based safety, human organizational performance. There are some things that Dom follows and does, which Clive will definitely disagree with, and many others will definitely disagree with, and vice versa.
Yep.
So, yes, there are differences. However, fundamentally, I do think they're very much the same. Mm-hmm. That being said, BBS and kind of safety differently, you'd normally do put them in two very different camps. Mm-hmm. Yep. But yet they're aligned on how we should be dealing with an accident investigation. Yep. Just shows that just shows for me, is how can they be dissenting opinions? Mm-hmm. How can a, you know, we have no editorial control. Okay, fine. All right, let's just say that that's acceptable. Maybe there's a lesson for Ayosh to learn there.
Yep.
Definitely think there is. But let's say, just leave that to one side for a moment. They have no editorial control. Fine. You publish an article, which is an interview between one person and an experienced person in kind of enforcement, in police, law, actual interviewing of people, so on and so forth. Just acknowledge we are not that in our profession, but let's put that aside for a second. How can that be the non-dissenting opinion when you've got psychologists, sociologists, heads of safety from around the world, new people within the profession, literally hundreds of people, police officers, ex-detectives, you know, all commenting, saying, ex-enforcers even for the HSC were commenting, saying, this is our job and we want to do it like this. Yeah, right. How is referring to them as dissent? Mm. Just one, right, too helpful to the conversation, or even how does it make sense to them?
And the thing, I mean, I actually wrote to the author of that article and just said, look, you know, does this mean then that that is Ayosh's approach? Got no response back, and I'm a full paying member of Ayosh.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and I got no response back at all. You know, totally dissed.
I tagged them both in the post, nothing, and I have since left Ayosh.
Right,
Okay. I've decided to leave, not just because of that, because of my horrendous experience as an Ayosh future leader as well. Mm. But yeah, I have chose to not let them represent me. Mm. And I know a couple of other people that have left since that article. Mm. Some have chose to go over to other things like RSM. Mm. Fair enough. Yeah. I am sitting on the fence. I'm not sure if I want to go over to anyone else. I'll wait and see. But yeah, I left. Mm. Okay. That was the cherry on top of the cake. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But, you know, it's, you know, I think they need to, you know, I think it's just about being more aware of the impact that they have, and making sure that the stuff that's coming out under their name or whatever name it may be is actually right.
Yeah.
You know, we will see. We're not going to change.
We said our piece.
Yeah, we're not going to change. We're not going to change Irish. Yeah.
We could probably talk about another 4 hours about this, couldn't we? But we haven't got time. I think there's one last thing to kind of mention, Colin. I think one thing that Irish have done well is they've, through the Irish Future Leaders community, have just launched a new webinar thing that they're doing, a drop-in call, very similar to what we do. Nice to see we're having some influence there, and that people have realised maybe we should be a bit less formal and just have open conversations. So fair play to them.
Oh, that's great. You know, it's, you know, I think if, you know, if we've had an impact in some way, then, you know, we should be really proud of that. And, you know, we're doing that. There's plenty of room.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room for all of us, mate.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing. And, you know, there's loads of, you know, there's loads of different car manufacturers out there that make different cars, and you choose where you go, and you know, so good. You know, if we've had an impact that's making them think a little bit differently about how they do things through their future leaders group, then that's absolutely fantastic. Mm. You know, and we will keep on influencing them. And you know, let's hope they can keep up. Mm. You know, because we've got some amazing things that we've got planned.
Yeah.
That we're not going to talk about, okay, at the moment until we deliver them. But some absolutely amazing things that we've got planned over the next 6 and 12 months.
Yeah, and I do like the kind of phrase that you use a lot, in that, you know, the government's only good when the competition is good.
The government, you know, a government is only as strong as the opposition.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not necessarily saying that we are IOSH's opposition, you know, at all. I think we're two completely different organisations.
I agree. I think we're complementary.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, mm-hmm. Shame they don't see it that way. But I do genuinely think we are complementary. Mm-hmm. I don't say to anyone, you know, this should replace your IOSH membership. Mm-hmm. That's up to you. Mm-hmm. For me, this is complementary.
I think, you know, one of the things, you know, before we set up Meletium, you know, we actually went out to the health and safety professionals and asked some really, really sensible questions about how many different kinds of membership people have. And I think one of the things that we found there was that a lot of health and safety professionals have a lot of memberships, you know,
yeah.
They probably have 3, 4, or 5 different memberships.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so that gave us some confidence. Okay, then. So people are happy to pay for more than one thing. We've got to make sure that the thing that we're expecting people to pay for is of great value. And if we can make sure that we get the good value, then it doesn't need to replace. It complements. And so, mm-hmm. you know, so that's what we're doing. So, you know, so I'm really comfortable about that. You know, we will, you know, hey, when we're at 46,000 members, you know, we might have a different look at it.
Yeah.
You know, but let's get there. You know, let's get there, mate, and let's see where we go with it.
Yeah, there'll be like a Project IOSH, and we'll be like, do we still have this? No, we will. I don't think monopoly is good on anything. No. And I think that article we've just discussed, I think is prime proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you are being challenged and when people are pushing you to think different ways or think better or look at what you're doing, that is only ever a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is only ever a good thing. And yes, they haven't had a full monopoly, but let's be honest, they've had a monopoly for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's been helpful to the profession, in my opinion. But anyway, cool. Brilliant. Anything else you want to talk about, mate, before we nip this in the bud or mention?
I think we're continuing to have our meetings on a Wednesday evening and at 6, and on a Friday lunchtime at midday. And you know, we'd love people to come along. You know, come along for a couple of sessions, see what it's about. So you know, I did have today. You know, I think we're definitely going to have to look at the times. I had a guy from Brisbane today saying, I want to come along. I want to be part of it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so we're going to...
Oh, dear. That's like 2 in the morning or something for us.
So, yeah, I mean, he texted me at 7 o'clock at night, his time, which was about, I don't know, 9 o'clock our time in the morning. So we'll just have to get our heads around what works. I think somebody said to us, I think 6 o'clock is between 4 and 6. In the afternoon, evening.
It's a sweet spot.
It's a sweet spot. So, you know, we're probably going to have to do a little bit more around that time, you know, but it'll be great. Again, you know, with technology nowadays and with the format of how we've got this set up, you know, yeah, I mean, getting views from around the world is just going to be even better.
Yeah.
You know, so...
More diverse.
You know, so we will do the international call. You know, we'll call it the international community call, and let's see where let's see what comes from that.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely. Well, thank you very much, Colin. It's been a good chat. Nice to get this show up and running as well.
Cheers, buddy.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only based on limited and dated open source information and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson.